discuss this matter. If we don't finish it today, we'll carry on with it. We must not rush it. So I will just request the COCC to make a presentation on the matter. We start with the stuff in the minute only. Then we deal with it, we continue with the other unit. Over to you, COCC.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just wanted to introduce the people who are going to be doing the presentation. Ingvan Woodley is currently the FT DDG Corporate Services, and he has brought along Sipong Gomane, who is acting Chief Director of Human Resources. So Sipo is going to give us the presentation.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, good morning and thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to present the structure of the department as per request that was received from the committee that you need us to take you through the organogram of the department. The purpose of this presentation is to respond to the letter in terms of all the areas that you have requested, that you wanted to see the departmental organizational structure at the macro level, and then also the summary of the post-establishment. You also requested separately to see the micro structure of the two branches in rural development, that is the rural infrastructure development and rural enterprise infrastructural development. And then also we will show what are some of the vacant unfunded positions per branch within the department. And we will also conclude by giving you the vacancies that existed as a result of the suspension that took place in the department. Chairperson, on page 3 of the presentation, it is the macro structure of the department. You can see that is led by the minister. Within the office of the minister, there is office of the Veluwe General that reports directly to the minister, and that position is filled, and reporting to the minister are two deputy ministers that I'll talk to them separately as to the structure, and then also the office of the director general. Currently, the position of the Director General is vacant and Ms. Rendani Sadiki is acting on that position. And for governance purposes, we have the Chief Directorate Internal Audit that reports directly to the DG that is also filled. We have about 10 branches that report directly to the Office of the Director General, with also the provincial heads that reports to the DG. And I would like to take you through to the various branch heads and give you an update of what is happening per branch. In terms of the first branch on the left bottom, we have the branch land redistribution and development. That position, the cabinet has approved in October the appointment of a DDG, and the DDG has since assumed the duties on the 1st of December 2018. So that position is filled, and then we have the branch land tenure and administration. That position is vacant at the moment, is also advertised. We are busy with the recruitment process. We also have the branch rural enterprise industrial development, that's called RAID. That position is filled. And we have the branch rural infrastructure development. That position is vacant since the resignation of Ms. Leona Achari. It is vacant, but is going through the process of recruitment. And we also have the branch restitution. That position is filled. We have the branch deed registration. That position is also filled. And we have the branch National Geomatics Management Services. That position is filled, but the incumbent is on precautionary suspension, so we have an acting capacity. And we also have the branch Special Planning and Land Use Management. That position is vacant after the retirement of the previous incumbent on the 31st of August 2018. And within the branch Corporate Support Services, that position is filled, but the official also is on precautionary suspension. And we have the branch Finance. This position is filled, but the CFO is acting as a DG at the moment. And we have 9 provincial heads that are responsible for the provinces. All the provincial heads are filled except for one province of Limpopo that we are currently busy with the recruitment process. So basically, Jefferson, this is the overview at the high level in terms of all the top executive management positions of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Yes, Jefferson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Under this matter of organizational structure, why is the minister there and the deputy minister are not there? Can you clarify that? Why are they not here? And secondly, there's this DG acting. How far is the Mr. Shabani's issue? Thank you very much, I'm not sure, and leave for others.
And also, just to talk up on what Honorable Mandata said, CFO acting also. It's unfortunate, but the DM is here. CFO acting as a DG, who's occupying the position of the CFO?
Department is in serious crisis. Even the top level, there are so much uncertainty, so many vacancies, so many actors. It certainly has an impact right through the structures. No one takes responsibility for energy, that is the problem with regard to acting, with actors. And someone understand why there's nothing happening on the ground, because no one can be held accountable, because there's no one up there. One would like to hear what is the time frame to fill in all these vacancies, but importantly also perhaps share with us what is the reasons for the precautionary suspensions. Is the matters that are being dealt with at the let me not speculate. One just need to have a sense what is going on in the department at that particular level. Comrade Mabat have asked the issue about the ministers, the DMs, which doesn't appear here. I do remember, Chair, at one point we had two or three meetings, heavy discussions around the levels, salary levels of the staff in the DM's office. And I do know that despite the fact that this committee and the minister and the DG at that time was in full agreement with regard to level 30, that those staff must be packed at, you know, I think the then DG corporate services were continuously providing a letter from saying that is not the case. Even though one reads in the papers and they are literally in all other ministries where the same jobs are done, performed at the level 30, you know, but in the case of our DMs, the name must be paid at the level 12, which to me, as a former trade unionist, is very, very, it's an unfair labor practice. There's no consistency. And I'm not quite sure whether there was a specific reason that we were not clear to understand, because even the letters from the PSC was not the correct one, because, as I said, it has been implemented by many other ministers. The only thing is that this was being implemented. Yeah, I do not know, which I may dig up an old discussion that has been resolved, but as far as I know, nothing has happened. We were just doing those teams, like our respect, our minister and our DG were not able to move past the then DG or chair.
When you make a presentation on the DM, because you're supposed to be part of this, we just entertain that question. It's a very important question. So, is the honorable
Yeah, sometimes they have they always know faces in this meeting. And people that I used to know many years ago who were sitting that side have changed. There's a change of face. And we don't get reports why so and so is no longer here. You know, and once we talk about the director corporate service, I already have a face and a name of a person. Maybe if we are told how many people left, what are their names, their positions, why did they leave in the first place? And those who are under suspension charged what? What are the charges? How severe is it? Yeah, I think that would be very much helpful, okay, so that we know where we are. But otherwise, the way things are, the impression it creates is that this department just goes by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Another day is so the other people get paid, and then the month is gone, another month. That's why we have issues like this one that are following us all the time, you know, issues related to the youth, you know. And there are people who come to meetings all the time, you see their faces, you'll never hear their voices. And there was a request some time ago that we need to pull in at least somebody from internal audit to be in meetings. So the conferences are not going very well, we'll be able to ask questions on that, but because internal audit needs to pick things before they're even picked by other people, so that these are people who will keep us abreast of those issues. I don't know if what happened to that resolution of the committee, you know, about that. That's it.
Thanks, Chair. I know that Honourable Gould usually draws the strength from what has been first, and so always likes to think I've done it. And he enjoys the protection. So let me do my job. Chair, in order for one to get a better perspective of what is happening in any given situation, I always put percentages, converted to percentages. From what has just been presented to us, you have got an over 40% vacancy situation. I'll tell you where I get this from. The DG, LGA, RID, R-I-D, SPLUM, out of the 10, that's over 40%. And operationally, we've got over 60%. In other words, I now factor in the positions where the incumbents are suspended. And I want that. Now, that is a very critical situation. And this is where, Chair, it's almost criminal for the minister not to be here. Because there are critical questions that would have loved to put to the minister when we have got an even acting DG for that matter, who would just beg me unfairly, the lady who were to put the kind of questions that we want to, if we were to put them to the acting DG. Let alone the fact that we're still waiting for an answer to your question as to who is now acting as CFO. And from that perspective, I repeat, it's almost criminal for the nation of the present. She's new in the post, and there's more cases of her not being here than her being here. If we can count the number of meetings, you can look at the register. I am at a loss as to exactly what should be done. But administratively, I would like to know from Corporate Services Department whether it is at all possible to make exceptions when it comes to filling in, to fast-tracking the recruitment process, let me put it that like that. Because if we're going to go on like this until a new government comes into place in 5-6 months' time, by that time we will have gone into a new financial year. And practically you cannot effectively operate with the kind of skeleton staff that you have got. There's a limit as to the amount of energy that one and time that one can dedicate to do a given job, irrespective of the amount of pay compensation. But you just get limited because of the nature of the process, the nature of the job. So for people to be acting in other people's positions, definitely that has got a negative impact. And this is where we would have loved to know from the minister politically as to what kind of support should like us as a committee to give to the department. But we're limited now. We are not here to bash government. We are an arm of government as legislators. We will vociferously criticize where it becomes necessary. But our first and foremost function is to say it can be done better in this way, and we give tips so that it doesn't collapse. Because when government collapses, we, doesn't matter how much we are in opposition, we get affected. It's as simple as all that. So that is why, Chair, I'm putting on record the fact that it's virtually criminal for the minister not to be present on such a critical day when there have been ongoing vacancies for so long. I can only appeal to you, Chair, to sit down with your colleagues and try and find a solution so that come February, we've got an instant solution. I'm coupling this with what I've suggested to the department to say, talk to whosoever you are entitled and duty bound to talk to, even going beyond, to find out how can the recruitment process be fast-tracked so that you fill in the vacant post. There must be a choice, like some, whether it's Treasury making exceptions or Department of Public Service, whatever. But we can't wait for a steady, standardized process of recruiting and literally see such a strategically important department collapsing and always our watch. Because, Chair, it comes back to us as whether we're putting our foot flat on the ground to say, this must be done. This is when it would have been pleasant for us to say, Minister, tell us, which law are you going to knock out so that we can find our chair to accompany you so that when you knock loud enough so that you get a quick solution. And that's all I want to put. Looking at it at a high level. I don't want to go into the nitty-gritties of it. At this level, I don't want to go there. I want to keep it at a high level. Thanks, sir.
Chair, thank you. I think the exercise is a very useful one. I may not preempt that like the previous one on the CPA land group. We're probably going to end up asking for more information and representation. But I think we should thank the foundation itself. I'm slightly handicapped in that I missed the earlier part of the presentation, but almost 90% of it. So I'm just talking to the structure that I cannot interpret well. I can see the structures here, I can see the job descriptions if you like. But a part of the package is that, but the first pages up to page 4 could give an idea, at least a basis for Honorable Fulgame to be able to make some preliminary comments. Chair, the faces, as Honorable Chabalele said, they kept on changing, chopping. When we visited the office, there were also new faces. We were told this person has been on suspension for this much long. and is now back, and Honorable Robert Finet earlier even shared with the committee some glaring information that he has about the goings on there. DM, because the rest of the people might be acting next to you, maybe subjectively, I don't know. The, so, DM, the organizational structure should never in any organization be factionalized. In some other year, one other faction other than my own took over office, and I knew that when I was in the municipality that on my way going, I said it openly, and indeed 1-2 hours gone, because the organizational structure was in administration, but the organizational structure had also been factionalized. We would wish that DM, when you sit with your colleagues, the other DM and the minister, that message is carried forward that we should never have organizational structure that is run on factional basis. National level administrators, managers should really be professionals of note, professionals of note, and not professionals of loyalties, gatekeeping, and patronage dispensal. It can't be. I raised this comment preliminarily and quite cautious, Chair, because quite a number from drawing from Honorable Robertson's sharing, quite a number of formerly suspended people are now formally reinstated, if you like, and quite a number of formerly permanent people are now formally outside the door once the regime changes. And it should never be the case. It should never be the case. It should never be the case. When I grew up politically in some of these lower political offices, you'd hear that if the new mayor changes, changes, yes. Hey, Ankatel, don't they go here? You know, it should never be that warm bodies, professionals, high-level management leaders get embroiled in those kinds of things. No one asked you. I would just ask you so that I'm consistent as well, the Madhya organization. About the former DG, how far is the case? I'll ask for a response. How far is the case? A direct question. How far is that matter? Oh. Just to be consistent with my point that these two in the front. Chair, I would then also go to the issue about acting appointments. I remember saying, I repeat, that one day I sat before a panel of academia at Fortune, and it was a screening process for part of a certain program. So there they were, these professors and all, and they said, talk to us about acting appointments, you know, in government, in particular public sector, obviously, I'm not talking about. So I was in sixes and sevens, but for me, I said the only factor that can help is if there's natural attrition, then there's an acting appointment, the death, early retirement, other things that are really not man-made much, relatively objective. But I was also saying where you have a legal matter pending before court, it's difficult to fill that post on a permanent basis. Convinced or not convinced, I don't know what those academics ended up concluding of my proposition in defense of acting appointments. Chair, I've not found any other reason why acting appointments should be allowed. Clearly, the academia in that year was of the view that one part that is crippling HR and governance is this thing of acting appointments. If the person is fitting, why not then have that person on a permanent basis until and after the contract ends? CNCC, you had your contract end at some point, and then there was contract renewal. That's why I'm so certain that you are the permanent one here. I don't know other. So the acting appointments, I don't know who's going to answer now. Maybe it's a DM chair. Because, and again, another direct question. Why these acting appointments? Up to what point? There's a weakness with acting appointments, and I think I did allude to in that other event I was narrating about. The person acting cannot be strong enough to take disciplinary action, to call people to order. You see, now I'm not acting whip, I'm whip. I don't care who loves me, who doesn't love me. When something is wrong, I simply say no. But if I was acting whip, you think I would be able? No, I would be trying to appease people. Same applies to the chair. You know, when I'm acting chair, you know how much I just try and appease everyone. Because you want to be cautious. Now, these acting things, that's my thing now. These acting are crippling the management structure of the department. Why so many people in acting capacity? The flip side of the question I ask for answers is, these people who are now getting suspended, thrown under the bus, to use the nonsense strong term and the fashionable term, these people that are thrown under the bus say, are you going to answer me? Maybe you are also acting. I don't know to what extent you can answer. These people who are now thrown under the bus, others fall or resigning. We lose in institutional memory. I've not met Ms. Leona Asheri. I was wishing her some stage a permanent appointment as a DG, on the record, whether it was a political thing or not, my business, I know it alone. Now, if I meet her in the street, shall I be convinced that the exit was a normal exit? A DM, you might also help. It would be nice to ask this with the minister in attendance and with the DG or acting DG in attendance. Now, other than Leona, Mr. Southgate, say, I don't know if you are acting in this position, you would have probably been making this presentation at DDG Corporate. Mr. Southgate, did he leave voluntarily? Why is he not here? I may have missed, you may have talked on that one. You know, why is he not here? And generally, what is happening? So, Chair, I'm raising a blanket principle and attaching it even to names as a sample. Mr. Southgate, Mr. Asheri, there can then be other names into the list. From Honorable Robertson's point, if he agrees with me, buying into and plugging into that point, and who has returned back? What is the basis if PJ Ngune was in your establishment as Chief Director of Imaginary Services, and then he is now back? Have you been able to follow in the court true to the letter and defend up until you lost those cases? What are those cases? Each one of them, who returned back under what circumstances? Who returned back under what circumstances? You know, do you just leave it out there in the court and chair? If in the court the state or the department is not opposing, clearly that application of that other person to return back is then granted. Because the court acts on the basis of information before it. I'm lay person, but logic is not everywhere. Right. So that was almost my very last point here. I like the issue about 4 months. For 5 years now, I've raised this in the provincial before. It would have been nice to take this chart, your page chair, and put information there, simply indicate, filled, vacant, frozen, and even indicate names there in one big chart, make it a double spreadsheet if you like, and make indications there, because now every stand gives us the organizational structure, but it is not user friendly in terms of who is occupying where.
At a glance, when you present something, you must be so proud. If I look gender, I must just be able to see it. If I look demographics, I must be able to see it in this page. If I look disability, you are required to have 2%. I suppose you have none. You are required to have 2% disability. I must be able to see it here. I know people used to say, no, people don't declare. We mean disability that has been declared. Umguni doesn't declare that his other eye doesn't see, so he's disabled or partially disabled. We mean disability that is declared. I don't want to go to another topic, but I'm just saying, this sheet has instead of, maybe you are acting and you'll be ambitious enough that one day the committee congratulates you on permanent appointment. This sheet could have and should have had all the information you require within it. Remember, this was not sourced from the from another outside the department. This was generated in the department, so you should have it on your laptop. It's a question of editing here, writing, filling color. When you make your thing, show us your high level, your national. You can fit into a DDG's position with ease. You know, make your work such that committee can be able to do it well. Unfortunately, truth be told, you can't do much work from here. And then the bulk of the document is just short description. And thank you for that, but we will not use it. I can assure you, I'm not going to read these job descriptions. I don't need them. But yes, it's correct to put them, but information we needed was much more in relation to this. And is this all of your SMS? The 10 SMS, Senior Management Services. I know my other colleagues are thinking it's SMS in terms of tech thing. Now, Senior Management Services, which is the definition, oh, I'm teasing. Hey, I lose the support of everyone on this point. Now, is this all of your SMS? And so on. Yes, the next sheet check gives the generic statistic, but would have loved it attached to each post here. That's all. I would have thought that we'll probably not finish, and I'm not a witch doctor, but I think we'll probably not finish up until we get it the way we want, up until we are able to have clear findings and clear recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thanks to that Honourable Nguni. I enjoy the part specifically of Honourable Nguni who said that we need a detailed report on everybody that's been reinstated, why they've been reinstated. And bear in mind that we know about instances where people have been dismissed for falsifying documents, for claiming venue funds that actually didn't take place. And we know of incidences where people within the department are doing business with the department, owning abattoirs, butchering state capital for personal revenue or finances. So we know what the cases are. So please, when you come and bring this report, don't come with inadequate reports indicating, well, this could have happened, that could have happened. I want you to understand that we've got the factual issues of what's going on, and I'd also like to know that during your arbitration process, why isn't that none of this was taken into account when bringing these individuals that have been dismissed back into the department? And before finally, if I can just say, this tug of war, Honourable Chair, of when one dispensation leaves and another one comes in, there seems to be the officials leaving with that minister that are now coming back in again. There's a tug of war of staff and officials in the department. This is exactly what causes the backlogs in land reform. This is exactly what causes the South African public to think that currently, land reform is not working fast enough, therefore expropriation without compensation is the next thing to speed up land reform. And this has been the Democratic Alliance's argument all along. If this is departmental issues, we've seen it now with Elon's Kraal, blatantly we've seen it with Mala blatantly. We're now seeing it now with individuals that are deemed corrupt and involved in fraud being brought back into the department. We need to be able to ask ourselves the question, what role did the department's failure play in ultimately changing Section 25 of the Constitution? Because I can almost guarantee you that if the department was functioning properly and Section 25 of the Constitution was implemented properly, we would be seeing the results that everybody's asking for. It's on the department's head. It's on the department's head why land reform is so slow, so tedious, and why Section 25 of the Constitution is being changed. Thank you.
Why can several matters be responding and also the DM, because some of the questions they need to intervention. I've asked a question on who's acting on the person that you said that acting to attach the need. Then secondly, there was this issue on the media which was raised by the portfolio committee on public work. On the report of the portfolio committee, I think the report came from the assembly, that the CFO from the Department of Rural Development moved to the Department of Public Work and moved back to the Department of Rural Development, proper procedures were not followed. Can we be explained in that one? So that when people ask us, we know exactly what happened. Because if a person has resigned from rural development, went to public work, then come back to rural development, were processes, proper processes being followed? What happened really? Because it was raised in the portfolio committee report and also in the media, heard about it in the media. They were talking about it, that the portfolio committee was vocal on it, satisfied about that matter. The CFO for rural development moved to the public work as a CFO. When Minister Nwesi comes in, then she moves back to the Department of Rural Development as a CFO again, now as an acting DG. Can you just clarify this movement, unnecessary movement from one post to the other, so that you can be able to explain as this committee what really happened? And then, the attachment just said by members of name on this DDG. Can we get the responses from the DM and also from Mr. Mbomane and the team? We also see a part of the team. Just explain to us this mismatch that is happening.
Okay,
about it in the media.
I have nothing to say. I'm sorry, you think I said we saw good yet. Don't worry, I will say whatever. So I think that the questions are very clear. I also want to say that in terms of Colonel from, I would have thought that restitution would be up here. Especially in the sense that restitution basically has some autonomous reports to the minister, not necessarily to the teachers. But that's, yeah. I think you're going to explain why we are not here. I don't know why we're not here. You know, Chair, the CFO Rendani Sati in November left the department, November 2017, to join the Department of Public Works under Minister Nguedu. And Minister Nguedu was the minister at that time. And then we had December, which is basically a month of very little activity. We then had January, February. I think we had some reshuffle late February or March. Yeah. And then in March, we then had a new minister, the current incumbent, Minister Malise Gwanamashaba. After she had arrived, I think you would say that Randani has now probably not been there for 2 months or something. But after she had arrived, after she had familiarized herself with the situation, she, that's what I know, requested through correspondence that Randani comes back. The minister wrote to another minister requesting, you know, I think Honorable Ngomi knows better the laws and whatever, you know. But Minister Nguedu acceded to that request. And therefore, Randani Sasidi came back to the Department of Rural Development and then Reform as the CFO, which she was. Having come back as the CFO, in a week or not more than 2 weeks, she was appointed an acting director general in the place of acting director general Leona Achari. You would recall that Leona Achari had become acting director general subsequent to the Dudu Shabane process, which I think the committee is quite familiar with. Let me add that when Randani left for public works, the leadership of the department, the minister committee, appointed someone to be an acting CFO. You know? So when, not for a little time, when she came back to be CFO again, in hardly a week or two, she was acting DG. A week. In hardly a week. She came back. Hardly a week, she was acting DG. And therefore, the acting CFO, which was continued to be acting CFO until now. Am I right? Yeah. So that's the situation in relation to the acting CFO. So you have then, you look what was told, it was not good to have one person acting as, we talked about 6 months and rotation. So, in that logic then, but I think Randani has not been there for more than 6 months. Now, the other one said is that I was in a meeting with the minister when there is a new person, almost everybody takes a gap, you know, about how I was treated by the previous administration, gave me a hearing. there seems to have been a lot of that situation, you know. Because I sat in a meeting with the minister where Mr. Southgate, who said, you know, who was responsible for corporate, was asked to give us a briefing about what really happened. Why were, you know, because an impression was created that people were just being, you know, unilaterally fired, blah, 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 blah. Mr. Hawkins was able in that meeting to explain each case. And it became very clear to us, and me in particular, I raised the point, that this thing is going to be difficult. Every case must be judged on its merits. Because what became clear was that some of the people were even found guilty in a court of law, you know. So that's the one and only meeting I participated in April. Now, then, Chair, also related to that, I want to say to you, I know nothing about people who have come back. I don't know anything about people who have come back, save for one. And I'll only speak about the one I know about. So, if you ask me, I hear from you that the people who have come back, maybe I still see them, you know. Now, there's someone called Njongi. You know? This person, I just want to quickly explain about him. I got a formal correspondence from the chief whip, Mr. Justin Tim, asking me to attend to a particular matter. Njongi had written to Mr. Justin Tim to complain about treatment that he had received during the department and how he was unjustly fired or dealt with, you know. I then followed on the matter. I read and discovered that Njongi was working for us in the province of the Eastern Cape. I met with him, I followed on the matter. My own conclusion on the Njongi matter was that Njongi seemed to have been fired because he had, some people had wanted him to participate in corrupt activities, and he was not keen, and he got a tough time and subsequently disappeared from the department. Now, the difficulty about this, the person Njongi was really, in his discussion with me, was really speaking about, he had just in a few months before then taken retirement. He was the chief director in the Eastern Cape, you know. So I then compiled a report and I asked the acting DG to follow up on this matter with Njongi and the Eastern Cape. Now, during that time, there was a process in the department where, what you call the corporate services, which was responsible in terms of dealing with issues of this nature, where the minister took, or the leadership of the department, took that responsibility away from Southgate into the acting DG, into the DG's office. So people who are now dealing with people fired, DCs and the like, were no longer corporate services, but they are doing it for them. Yes, you know. Now, when that happened then, so I then got to know, because I had made clear recommendations about my feeling about the matter, I reported back to the chief. I think a few weeks ago, I got my head of office informing me that there was a letter from Jody telling me about my role, blah, blah, blah. So I learned that role in effect. So that's the person I can talk about, you know, that one. Now, Leona Achare had no entitlement to the position of Director General. She was an acting Director General, you know. Because some of us had views about changing the person at the eve of elections and what we were doing, you know. But she left on her own volition. She subsequently resigned because she was told that she was no longer a CCG. I don't think she was ever the same person she was in terms of morale and confidence and like that, you know. So I learned from that, from her, in fact, that she had resigned. Then came the issue of Eugene Southgate. Eugene Southgate has now, as I've explained to you, still has now taken to the SMPG office. I don't know much about what happened to him, save for him giving me a call, saying that after he was suspended for whatever, he then indicated to me that if he is not wanted, he is prepared to walk instead of fabrication of whatever, you know, not kill for a fight or whatever, you know, if people want someone else or not. So I told him so that I know nothing about this. He then said, can I talk to the minister about what you are saying to me? And he then said to me, yes, I can. Something that I did to the minister and the head of the ministry, saying that there's some case who says this, that, and that. I left it there. It was never compared to me. I had to write it there. So this is the little I can say. Let me just say that I do not know. I have a sense of what was happening to them too. I had a sense of the preferred charges and whatever. I had a sense that was during the Quincy time, you know. I had a sense of but these issues that have happened now, I know nothing about them. I really don't know anything about them at all, you know. Thank you very much. I think that the people dealing directly with the issues would be better able to amplify. I'm not saying anything about the deputy minister since we are still coming to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I think the DM has spoken to some of the issues. I need not to go back and respond to them, but I just want to highlight some few other questions that the members have asked, some questions, especially in terms of the names of those people that are acting in those positions. As we have heard, Mr. Southgate was put on precautionary suspension on the 24th of July 2018. And there are really, as I'm standing here, not clear issues as to what exactly are the issues that is being charged on, but what it relates to are governance and Public Finance Management Act issues. And the person who is acting in this position is Mr. Pules Kawana, who is appointed as the Chief Director for the PSSC Free State. And then also, he has been appointed to act in the position of Rural Infrastructure Development after the resignation of Ms. Leona Achari as DDG. So he's got a dual acting role in two branches, that of Corporate Support Services and Rural Infrastructure Development. And in terms of the National Geomatics Management Services, the minister has appointed Ms. Rosalind Dubeki to act as the Chief Surveyor General pending the unavailability of Mr. Muso Riba, yes, as the Chief Surveyor General, who Mr. Riba has been suspended since 2017, 16, 17 years. I'm not very clear now at the stage of the exact month and the date when he was actually suspended. Since Mr. Rivers' suspension, a number of executive managers in the department were appointed to act in that position, one of them being Dr. Dan Clark, who is the head of National Geomatics Information based in Cape Town in Mowbray. He has been acting for some time, and then also he is retiring. Dr. Clark is retiring at the end of March 2019, and for the sake of continuity, Ms. Rosalind Dubeki was appointed to actually act in the position of Chief Surveyor General pending the finalization of the matter for Mr. River. Also, I don't have full information of what led to the suspension of Mr. Riba, but I'm aware that there are also issues that have to deal with procurement, supply chain management processes that were not properly followed in the appointment of certain service providers to deliver services for the ICADASA that involved both the deed and the National Geomatic Management Services. So, honorable members, these are the two precautionary suspension matters that I can talk to, but also I need to indicate that in terms of the branch spatial planning and land use management, after the retirement of Dr. Makali Mele, because of the whole issue of moving the spatial planning function to the presidency and COCTA, the position, the process of advertising the position of DDG was put on hold pending that particular process as to what is actually supposed to be happening next. For all the other vacant positions, they have been advertised, and we are currently running through the process. And I also want to indicate that page 3 talks to also page 4 to say what is the vacancy rate in the department, and what is it that the department is doing to reduce the vacancy rate. The commitment has been made where the various branches and the provinces were requested to prioritize their positions in line with the funding that we have. Through this commitment, Chairperson, I can go to page 4 just to show that we've got about 11% vacancy rate in the department, and we have requested all the branches and the provinces to make sure that we fast-track the filling of position by the end of March 2019. All the executive and senior managers in the department are aware about the recruitment drive that we are actually currently embarking on in order to make sure that we reduce the vacancy rate in the department. That process has already started. Since September, we've been advertising all the vacant funded positions in line with what the department can afford based on the approved structure. Chairperson, in terms of the matter of the DG Shabane, the matter is still in the Labour Appeal Court. It has not yet been heard. There has been some processes that Mr. Shabane has requested to initiate in order to actually leave the department. That process has not yet been concluded. We are still gathering the information with the DPSA on how it is supposed to be done in line with his request. I would like to respond to the matter of the officials that have been reinstated following their dismissal by the department based on the decisions that were taken by the court. As initially mentioned in the morning, that about 9 officials were reinstated. The names of the officials that have been reinstated were received through the process of the arbitration award that were made. And I can confirm that the arbitration award has actually instructed the department to reinstate at least 3 officials. These are the ones that we have received the names for. The officials in question is Mr. Modise, who was the director in the Free State. He has since been reinstated. And then also the matter of Ms. Babalwa Magoda, who was the chief director, recapitalization under the branch LRD, has also been reinstated. And recently, on the 1st of December, Mr. Teboho Molefe, who is working in the Electronic Performance Management Office Unit, has also been reinstated through the court in the form of arbitration awards. And the reinstatement of this official meant that the department has to pay back the money from the period when they were suspended or dismissed. So they had to claim everything that they lost during the process when they were dismissed by the department. These are the 3 officials that I can confirm that indeed the department has received arbitration awards to reinstate those officials. Sometimes you don't have an option. The arbitration award is made. Once it is made and it is actually confirmed, we are told that within 7 days that official has to be resuming with their employment. So, Chairperson and honorable members, this is the information that we have as far as the reinstatement of the officials that will dismiss our consent.
I just wanted the full picture. Maybe Mr. Mohamed can help us before you. Now, in relation to the reinstatement, I think Honorable Mohamed raised something critical. What has the role been of the department? Because reinstatement can be inevitable if the department is not saying anything. So, you know, I just wanted a complete picture. Did we oppose? Did we do anything? I think that was the question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. From the documents that we have received, the department through the state attorneys was represented when these matters were presented at an arbitration level. Some of those cases, we had an opportunity that the previous witnesses who were part of the case were no longer prepared to go and testify in the court to say that they were made to testify owing that they were put under pressure by the previous leadership to say that they must go and testify. And if they don't testify, then they will actually face disciplinary action. So these are some of the issues that led the department not to be able to defend those cases accordingly.
I think we need to also join time and come back on this issue. Members, I'm looking at the time. The meeting started 2 and we're only left with some few minutes before 2. Can I request that let me thank Mr. Ngomane and the team for the presentation and also for the explanation of some of the issues raised by members. But let's agree that the acting DG in our next meeting, I think, must give us the detailed report on the suspension, who was suspended, what were their reasons, why these people, others, were brought back to work again. And also, the exit interviews that were conducted. Because once you get a sense, why so many people are resigning and leaving the department? Because it's a challenge on its own. Then the other one, to attach the names on the organogram of the woman, the name, gender, and also the acting one. We have a picture of where these people are acting. We need to get an indication from when were they acting, what's the way forward, as you have also explained, Mr. Ngomane. But honorable members, I think let's leave it at that. We'll continue with it and also the other structures in different units, because we can see that we had a problem. We cannot take this matter for granted. We need to go deeper. There are lots of challenges here that we must deal with. Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable members, I think there's a draft program that has been circulated to members for the activities from January up to April or May, it will depend. Members must just look at it and have some input and submit some input to the committee secretary. The reports also have been circulated. Can the members go through the report? In our next meeting, we'll expect comments, not page by page, but members will indicate. Or if you want to make some comments on the report, can you make the submission so that when we come for the consideration of the report, at least those submissions have been incorporated into the report. Because we're expected to submit the legacy report, although I had a problem with that, because the legacy report is a term report. If the submission is to be done now in December, then it means that the post activities will not be part of the legacy report. But I think we just request an extension for the legacy report, the other reports, the study shows reports, the oversight reports, all of those reports members have to go through, make some comments, make some submissions, so that when we come back, we don't spend more time on the report. Can you members assist by doing that? DM, I think the issues that were raised at this committee are still going to continue with this organogram, because it seems that there are lots of skeletons here. that we have to deal with. So for today we'll pass here. So Momani will continue the presentation in our next meeting. We'll get the invite, but update really, I think you've noticed the comments. Yes, come with an updated report, not the whole way we've said here. This was what you're supposed to do. Can you please do that and submit it to when you come back? Make the presentation, submit that to the committee and continue with the presentation. Nevertheless, thank you very much, Cindy, if you are hands-on with regards to human resource measures. Can you please keep it up? Honorable members, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Sitting plenary at 2.